Hello and welcome to Hiblio TV. This is podcast number 3. I'm Paul Norrish. I'm joined in the studio by a young lady called Monroe. She's 26 years old and she's joined me to talk about her experience of domestic abuse and how she's reclaimed her life. So relationships, welcome to the studio.
Hiya.
When relationships start, they generally start really well.
Yes. They all start really well because if they didn't, and it started abusive straight away, none of us would stay. You know, it's a really slow process over time. And before you know it, you're kind of in this mess and you don't know how you got there.
So when, as we know, when you start a relationship, you're trying to work out me and I'm trying to work out you. That's what goes on. And you mentioned there about this mess and that must be bad times are going on.
Yeah.
So we know that domestic abuse, there's different forms. People naturally, just out there, the public think that that's around physical, it's around hitting and then that. But it can take on forms such as emotional, financial, sexual. So that's going on. Was there particular abuse that was happening for you?
It wasn't, you know, a particular one. I experienced all of them, the ones that you've just mentioned, at one point or another. You know, it just depended on, you know, where we were at the time.
Yeah.
A lot of the time it was verbal, you know, the shouting, the name calling, throwing things, built up to then being hit, pushed, sexual abuse, financial abuse. You know, financial was quite a big one. Cutting the feet out of my son's sleep suits because I couldn't afford anything. He was the main wage earner. So when we moved away and I was completely isolated, he was the one getting the money in. And at the time, he was spending that on drugs and alcohol. So I'd have to race him to the cash point.
Because before the relationship, you mentioned off air that, you know, you had your own job, you were sustainable.
Yeah.
He was asking you for money.
Yeah.
And you were happy to give because that was part of that relationship, you know. But actually, as the relationship deteriorated and he changed, you know, and things happened, especially when you had your young child.
Yeah.
He was very controlling of the money, and you mentioned about rushing to the cash point.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
So, obviously, that would go, his money would go on things like alcohol, drugs, you know, being social, going out with friends while we were in. And payday would come, and I would have to rush to the cash point to take the money out to get food for myself and my little one. Because if I didn't, by the time he'd finished for the day, he would have gone to the cash point and bought what he needed, and it wouldn't be anything for the house. It was really hard. Sometimes we would be overdrawn from him going out too much the month before, so we'd have £20-30 to get us through.
Day-to-day living. Yeah. So there you were in a part of the country, so you had your network of family, network of friends.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to pluck you away from that.
Mm-hmm.
So you moved to another part of the country.
Yeah.
We're talking lots of miles away. Didn't know anyone.
No.
And you mentioned about having a daily routine, almost living on eggshells.
Yeah.
Certain things needed to be done. Tell us about that.
So it would be, you know, some days it would be good, some days it would be bad, but I always had this routine, you know, usually if you've got a newborn, when they sleep, you kind of try and fit in a nap somewhere along the line so you can keep going when they're awake. But if he come home and I was napping with the baby, I'd be called lazy. So, you know, because the tea wasn't on the table or his bath wasn't run or the washing wasn't done, there would always be something. So I got into this routine of toys being cleared away at some certain time of day, washing done, you know, food on the table, bath run. And it was like, you know, your adrenaline's gone because you need to get it done by the time they come in.
And there was most probably a bit of you about excitement about moving to a different location. Mm-hmm. But you said the moment the door
Yeah.
Went to this new location. You've got the key to this house. Mm. He said to you, you won't be joining any mother and baby groups.
Yeah. And you won't be talking to anybody because I don't want people gossiping about us. So, for me, he always justified why I couldn't do something. So, because I was quite young, I thought, oh, actually, you know, that's fair enough. People could gossip about us. He doesn't want that.
Yeah.
So I did keep myself to myself. Didn't have any friends, didn't go to baby groups. But when he left and I made friends with the neighbour, we started doing stuff together, like baby groups and stuff. So, yeah. But, again, I was followed to those as well at points.
Right.
And little one taking out the pram and... Yeah, it was a really tough time.
So did you have, you know, a plan, an escape plan of this is how I'm going to get out of this relationship and leave this individual?
Not at the time, no, because he actually left us and then I enjoyed that period of time, you know, me and my little one, nothing to worry about, go to the groups.
Leave the toys out?
Leave the toys out, be messy if we wanted to.
Yeah.
But then it got to a point where he came back, he wanted us back, and I used that as my excuse, like, no, it's not happening this time. Give him a chance to have a relationship with his child, but he used that time to still control me, where you've been, who have you been with, you know, that sort of thing. So that's when I thought, no, this... You know, it's got to change now. I can't do this in this setting. I've got to go. So I went back home with my parents.
Yeah.
Put a bit of distance between us.
And he followed.
And he followed.
So just when you think, yeah, actually, yeah. I'm done with that now and I'm going back home, he turns up and causes mischief on your own doorstep.
Yeah. But it made things worse because it was my parents' home. So at that time, when I moved home and it started there... the police were involved daily, and it then went to a group of professionals where, like the head of every organisation is kind of around the table, called MARAC. They decided to, you know, that we were too high risk, and we were put into a safe house.
Okay, so you're in a better place now, and I'm really pleased to hear that. Yeah. The first time I met you, it was quite horroring as a man to hear that you've been through that story, and thanks for coming in and sharing. How are things now?
Yeah, well, I've been through groups and courses and kind of got through what
we got the support through. You needed.
Yeah. We've all moved to a safe location now. My little one's been through therapy. So together now we've both worked on ourselves and we're a lot happier.
And emotionally, did that catch you up?
Yeah, at points, you know, I've gone through, it's kind of like the abuse system where you have your good days and your bad days. It was exactly the same when I left. And at sometimes I did think, you know, this is really hard to do, to leave. It's really hard because you don't know where that person is because you've left. You don't know if you're going to ever bump into them and you don't know how they'll react. So you've then got that to deal with because when you're in the relationship, you've got a bit of control. You know when it's coming.
Yes.
When you leave, you don't. But I've worked through that and it's, you know, I got through the hard bit, which was the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life. But now... It's the best thing I've ever done.
So that's still looking over your shoulder?
Yeah.
Even now?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, thanks very much. And you found strength and confidence to find someone new.
Yeah.
And that must have been quite difficult.
Yeah, it was for a long time. I kind of put it off. I've met the wrong people. But, now I'm in a good relationship and I'm really happy.
Thanks very much, Munro. So partner abuse can happen against men and women and anybody can be the relationship. This behaviour is not love. Whatever situation, whoever you are, you can get help and you can talk to someone. So your doctor, your health visitor, a midwife or a national helpline. If it's an emergency, please call 999. Thanks for listening.